Let us go into the word. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive clarity this evening that as the truth of God's word is taught, truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with precision. There is no confusion. Our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of God's word. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. We declare and decree this evening that at the end of today's meeting as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah, turn with me quickly to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Second Timothy 3:15. Look at Paul to Timothy. He says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. He says, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures, verse 16, is given by inspiration of God. And they are profitable. The word they're profitable is the word advantageous for doctrine. The word their doctrine is the word teaching. So advantageous for doctrine, that is for doctrine, that is for teaching. It now says for reproof. It now says for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The word the instruction is for training, like to train up the child. So it says for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. So fundamentally, from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, the word the Holy Scripture speaks about set apart, sacred, designated, distinct, unique writings. So it will be the writings of what you call the Genesis to Malachi writings, the writings of Moses by extension, the Psalms and the prophets. So they are able to make the wise unto what? Salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So it means that in reading scriptures, or in reading the writings of Moses and the prophets, it should make us wise concerning the subject matter, salvation. So in teaching the scriptures, we have assurance, we have correction, and it's used for training. So if you want to train a spiritual infant, we use scriptures for training. Are we together? We use scriptures for training. So it means that we can teach everything about our Christian faith from the word of God. So what is the word of God? The word of God really will be Genesis to Malachi, which is by extension to Revelation. So the word of God will be, okay, go to chapter 2. Look at chapter 2, 2 Timothy, just that same 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Look at what it says. It says, study to show thyself approved. So study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yeah, the word of truth there will be, you know, we speak about the truth of God's word, and the real sense speak about the word of God. So what you can call the word of truth can be called the word of God, right? So to rightly divide the word of God. So at this point, study the word Timothy was to study, or whatever Timothy will study, will be in reference to that which was written, or those which were written in Genesis to Malachi. So it means that when we go back to Genesis to Malachi, that is the word of God. Yeah, so in as much as, you know, over time, a lot of scholars have been able to divide the Bible into the Old Testament books and the New Testament books, in the real sense, it is the Word of God. Because the Word of God that Timothy was to divide rightfully or rightly would be Genesis to Malachi. When Paul tells Timothy that thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, yeah, the Holy Scriptures there will be the Word of God, yeah, in the real sense, properly explained to see that which is what God is saying, or that which is the message of God. Are we together? So study to show thyself as one who is approved of God. So when we go back to Genesis to Malachi, we see God's word. So it is God's word. So it is God speaking to rocks, or God speaking to people, or God speaking to people consistently over time. Are we together? So why are we doing a series like this? We are going back into time, into the scriptures, to reinvestigate. You know, like we said, a serious student of God's word must not, you know, focus on one part of the Bible and leave the other parts. You know, a lot of us, you know, tend to fall for the trap of saying things like, no, that's under the old covenant. That's under the old covenant. That's under the old testament. That's under the law. Now we're under the grace. Yeah. But in the real sense, what you call the law, the grace and everything, they are being intertwined within themselves. What does that mean? You see God's graciousness found in Genesis to Malachi, right? And you see God's graciousness found in Matthew's Revelation. And you see God's law in the real sense found in Genesis to Malachi, by extension Matthew to Revelation. So every apostle, including Jesus, taught strictly and solely from Genesis to Malachi. I'll say that again. Yeah, the apostles, what they had as their word of God was Genesis to Malachi. So everything they taught was Genesis to Malachi. So it will mean that what validates Genesis, what validates or makes Matthew to Revelation the word of God, is because they were teaching from the word of God. Did you get that? I'll say that again. What makes Matthew to Revelation to be validated as the word of God is the fact that they were all teaching from what? The word of God. They were all teaching from what? The word of God. What is the word of God? Genesis to Malachi. Yeah. So the scriptures are to make the wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scriptures are given by inspiration. They are advantageous. That is profitable for what? Doctrine. In doctrine, we find what? Reproof. The word they reproof deals with an assurance. Yeah. It now says for correction, to straighten up, to rectify, to put in order. Right? So for correction, then for instruction, that is for training. So what is required for the training of the saints is the word of God. In the real sense, what is that? The Holy Scriptures. In the real sense, what do you call it? Old Testament books. In the real sense, what do you call it? The Word of Truth. The Word of God. Genesis to Malachi. So, in Genesis to Malachi, we find that to be God's Word, or God's Word is what we call it in the real sense. Are we together? Because in the real sense, you will teach what you call the old covenant in Genesis to Malachi and teach the new covenant in Genesis to Malachi. You see, Jesus taught about his resurrection from Genesis to Malachi. Look at Luke 24, verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophet hath spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to what? Enter into his glory. What did Jesus do in verse 27? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, into bracket the word of God, yeah, into bracket the holy scriptures, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Hold on, taking a step back. What did I say? Jesus teaches about his resurrection from the word of truth, from the word of God. Yeah, so it means that the resurrection which a man or mankind we call as the New Testament or the New Covenant, in the real sense, is properly and explicitly taught in Genesis to Malachi. So we must be diligent in our study and in our approach to teaching in order to be able to bring out what was meant to be communicated. Remember, the interpretation of scriptures, today's meaning will not differ from yesterday's meaning. Let me say it better. Interpretation of scriptures today will never mean what it never meant when it was written. Yeah, if I write a letter to you and I send it to your address, yeah, it doesn't make any sense for your neighbor to open that letter and read my letter and assume he understands what I'm talking about. No, for me to send a letter to you, it means that there's a common communication that is fundamental to both of us that will make you understand certain terms and certain words. Yeah, so it would be unfair for a passerby or the messenger to try and see what is in the mailbox or written in the message and try to assume. Are we together? Yeah. So if I say, I will try and deck him when I see him. Yeah. See, if you want to imply or assume any definition into that, what are you saying? You can decide to reach a conclusion that says, I will decide to deck him, like decking of a building. Are we together? Yeah. But both of us know that decking in the real sense might be to, I will beat you, I will injure you. Yeah. But the letter, the intent of the writer. So when you write a letter, you don't say, as I'm writing this letter will have several meanings. Any meaning the author or the recipient decides to choose from it is what that matters. Nothing else matters. Are we together? Yeah, nothing else matters. So you just say, I'm going to write, I'm going to hammer this time next year. Maybe I'll just put a PS or NB. Yeah, and just say, see, whatever you derive from this letter, that's your choice. No. So think about it. Have you watched movies where you see people try to leave information for people who will precede them, and so that they can read certain books and be able to interpret what they meant. Yeah. For instance, you can see a movie where a man is in prison and he wants to send a message in a very coded way to his son outside. What does he do? He picks a textbook, having taught his son outside a way to read from any message he sends. What does he do? He highlights certain words in certain pages, and the son, while reading it, can connote and connect. Are we together? So it means that for anybody to be able to understand what you are saying in that prison or from that prison, he must sit where your son sat when you taught him those codes. Are you getting that? Yeah. So it means that as saints, we must sit where they sat to see what they saw and understand what they understood. Are we together? Yeah. We must understand what they understood. So we have been dealing with 10 commandments in our last teaching and by extension today. And we're trying to establish where the conversation of 10 commandments began. And we saw it in Exodus 33. And we said Moses used the phrase 10 commandments only 3 times. Excuse me. Now, I didn't say Moses used the word commandment only 3 times. When you see 10 commandments used together, Moses used it only 3 times in his writings. We looked at that on Sunday. Exodus 34, verse 27. Yeah, so I'll just give you the writings. Exodus 34, 27 to 28. Deuteronomy 4, verse 12. And Deuteronomy 10, verse 3 to 4. So Moses, what the first mention of 10 commandments is with Moses. Are we together? It says, verse 27, and the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. Yeah. And he was there with the Lord 40 days, 40 nights, neither did he eat or drink. And he wrote upon the tables of the words of the covenant, the 10 commandments. So he wrote upon the tables, the words of the covenant, the 10 commandments. I went together. So we established the word commandment as the word dabar. Yeah, and we're able to explain it as 10 dabars, so to say. And we said the other use of commandments as used by Moses and by extension Jesus, sometimes we usually refer to keeping a charge or to lay a charge or to give an order. Are we together? So what Moses wrote as 10 commandments is the words or are the words of the covenant. Now, we're able to establish on Sunday that those words of the covenant were the same given to Abraham, same to Isaac, same to Jacob. So, the covenant God made with Abraham is that which God made with Isaac, that is by extension to Jacob and by extension to the children of Israel. Are we together? So, we looked at that and we're able to explain how Moses received God's word and he believed in the Lord, that is, he obeyed the voice of the Lord, that is, the message of God. I was together. I'll say that again. So Abraham believed in the Lord in that he obeyed the voice of the Lord, in that he obeyed the message of the Lord, in that he believed the message. Let's say that one more time. So Abraham believed in the Lord. In believing the Lord, it is that he believed in his message. In the real sense, it is that he obeyed God's voice. That is, he obeyed his message. I was together. So Abraham was obedient to the voice of the Lord. Yeah, which Moses in his writings now further explains as what? The Lord made a covenant with what? Abraham, saying unto thy seed have I given the land. Are we together? So Moses in his writing communicated commandments and communicated commandments in reference to 10 commandments. Are we together? Are we together? So it means that the covenant to Abraham, like I said, is the same covenant to Isaac. So why do we call God a promise keeper? Why do we call God a covenant keeper? Because the covenant of God is consistent through the ages. Are we together? God is a covenant keeper in that his covenant, his commandment, or his plan, or his goal, or his heart, right? Or his love, so to say, is consistent through the ages. Are we together? So we started looking at what you call the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. Look at Exodus 20. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. Look at Exodus. So you must have read Exodus 20 before you get to Exodus 1, 34. So look at Exodus 20, verse 1. Look at that. Look at that quickly. Exodus 20. Are you there? Are we there? Look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which has brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Stop. What is the first thing Moses highlights in verse 1? That which God has done, which is bringing deliverance and bringing deliverance out of bondage. Are we together? So, look at it. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God. Are we together? Thou shalt. So, I am the Lord thy God, in that you see that I brought ye out out of the land of Egypt, that is out of the house of bondage. So, by extension, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Did you understand that? Yeah. So, God's love is seen in the fact that there is a deliverance offered. By extension, your worship should reflect that you don't recognize any other God apart from him. Right? So, we paid attention to this commandment. And we said, verse 3, thou shalt have no other God before me. That is in reference to God. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. That is in reference to God. Verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the father upon the children of the third, fourth generation, and of them that hate me. That is towards your worship, towards God. Look at verse 6, showing mercy unto thousands. Verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of thy Lord thy God in vain. That is towards God. Your worship in reference to God, your worshiping of God, or your worship or your offering of yourself in service and reference to God. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. That is in reference to God. Verse 11, for in the sixth day the Lord God had made heaven and earth and sea and all of them, and the rest of them, they were for the Lord blessed Sabbath day and holy. So we see the first five commandments in quotes, right, in reference to our worship or their worship to God. Now look at verse 12, what you call number 6, honor thy father and thy mother. Is that in reference to man? Yes. Are we together? Is that a reference to other men? Yes. Thou shalt not kill. Is that a reference to man? Yes. You don't kill God. Right? Thou shalt not have any other God is in reference to God. Thou shalt not kill is a reference to man. Thou shalt not commit adultery is a reference to man. Thou shalt not steal is a reference to man. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor is a reference to man. Thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's house is a reference to man. Thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's wife is a reference to man. Your neighbor's man servant, your neighbor's maid servant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything of thy neighbor's in reference to man. Notice something very important in Exodus chapter 20. Moses did not number those things. Are we together? Yeah? Notice what Moses did not do. What did Moses do? Moses, in his writings, brings back the consciousness of the readers that what? God is the one that brought deliverance out of the land of Egypt. Yeah? By extension, he now begins to say or give some words, some dabas. Right? But Moses did not number them. He didn't say number 1, thou shalt have no other God before me. Number 2, thou shalt not kill. He didn't do that. So it means that it is better understood as 10 words. Now remember, you must put that disparity of words as plural and singular away from your head. Or you must put a disparity between plural and singular of words. Are we together? So when we say 10 dabas, 10 words, your mind should not go to 10 words like, I am a boy, 4 words. I am not a girl, 9 words, plus 10 words. No. Are we together? Are we together? So the first thing that they were to remember was how God delivered them and redeemed the children of Israel from bondage. So Moses, in his writings, kept emphasizing that truth. That truth. So God gave his word to deliver them from bondage and to bring them into the land, yes, that he promised to their father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. By extension, that land is a type, is a figure that points to the land of what? The city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, that is Mount Zion. So Mount Zion is that land that even though Abraham was promised a covenant, Abraham looked forward to. Are we together? So, in the inheritance, which is the land, they will be his people. So, God has brought them out of bondage, and in bringing them into his land, the people he brings to his land will be his people, and God will be their God. So, Moses, who is the writer, now teaches the relationship between God and the people who will be a member or part of the inheritance. Hopefully, I'll say that again. Moses, in his teaching, right, he teaches about the relationship between God and the people who will receive or who will be found in that land. Are we together? So what you call the Ten Commandments as given by Moses will be predicated on the description of God's deliverance, God's salvation, God's redemption from the people or from the land of bondage. I'll say it again. Remember, see verse 1 again. See verse 1 again. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. Look at that again. Are you there? Are you gone home? Look at Exodus 20, verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God. I am the Lord thy God that brought thee out of the land of Egypt. How together? Thou shalt have no other God. So it means that he's now speaking about the relationship that will be found amidst the people with the inheritance in the land. Are we there? So, first of all, he brings an assurance of the love of God in the fact that he brings deliverance from bondage. Second of all, he now emphasizes on the focus, he now emphasizes and focuses on their worship of that God who brought them out. Which what you see as what? Thou shalt not have any other God, right? Thou shalt not make graven image, right? Thou shalt not bow before any other God. Thou shalt not worship any other God. Right? Thou shalt observe the seventh day, the Sabbath day. Are we together? Remember, the teaching of Sabbath is a Moses' concept. Moses was using 7 days to teach about God's rest. We looked at that during the seminar. Right? Moses uses 7 days to teach about God's rest. It is Moses' use of word. So when Moses says on the seventh day God rested, the audience of Genesis is the audience of Exodus. Are we together? So when Moses in chapter 20 verse 10, Exodus 20, 10. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. So this is not different from what he is teaching in the seventh day in Genesis chapter 2. Are we together? What is he really talking about? He's talking about the worship of the people with an inheritance in God's land. So it is that God delivered you from bondage and brought you into a land. In bringing you to that land, you become his people. Are we together? You become his holy nation. Right? You become the heavenly Jerusalem. Yeah, type and shadow. Right? So, by extension, he now gives another 5 commandments, in quotes, 5 dabars. Are we together? And what were the emphasis? The emphasis and the focus will be on their interaction with one another. That is why you keep seeing thy neighbor, thy mother, thy neighbor, thy mother. So, you see, thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill thy neighbor. Did you get that? Yeah, because the only person you will kill is your neighbor. Yeah, your neighbor might not be that which lives in the same compound with you, but the man is your neighbor. Right? Thou shalt not commit adultery, right? Your neighbor. Thou shalt not steal from your neighbor. Did you get that? Did you get that? Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's wife. Yeah. So can you see, in the real sense, if you now look at those 10 commandments, you will realize that when he says, thou shalt not bear false witness, you see he writes, thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's house. He now says, thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his... Oh, so if you want to start writing down those laws, it might be more than 10. Remember, Moses did not number them. So it means that the 10 dabas of Moses can be grouped into 2 fundamental instructions. What are they? Your worship to Yahweh and your relationship amongst men. That is why you see Jesus says the first commandment is what? The commandment of love thy Lord thy God. The second one is like the first. What is that? Love thy neighbor. It is that in the words of Moses, we find it summarized as your relationship between yourself and God and between yourself and your neighbor. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Look at what it says. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy what? Thy heart. Altogether. Yeah, the word there, love, there is the word that means, you know, ahab, ahab. That's the Hebrew writing of that. To implies to prefer or to honor. So to say, let's stay there. Before you get to Deuteronomy chapter 6, look at Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy 5, verse 6. Are we here? Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 6. Can you see the reminder again? I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Have you read that today? Yes. Where did you read that? Exodus 20, Exodus 6. Read on Sunday. I am the Lord. Where are we reading? Deuteronomy 5. So you must have read Deuteronomy 5 when it says, I am the Lord which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. See what it now says in verse 7. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image. Can you see? Can you see the consistency? Can you see the consistency? Can you see the consistency? The 7 days, Sabbath day, verse 14. You see the consistency? You see the consistency? You see the consistency? You see? Then you keep reading, then you keep reading. You now see verse 16. Honor thy father, thy mother. You see the consistency? Is that the same thing as Exodus? Thou shalt not come, thou shalt not kill. Verse 17. Deuteronomy 5, 17. Yeah. Thou shalt, neither shall thou commit adultery. Neither shall thou steal. Yeah. Look at verse 22. These words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount, out of the midst of fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness, with a great voice, and he added no more. Are we together? Are we together? So it means that you must have read this before you get to chapter 6. See. I don't want to go into that. Just go to chapter 6. Go to chapter 6 and 5. I was trying to explain something there, but I think I'll just... Look at chapter 6 and 5. And thou shalt love thy Lord thy God. Right? Remember, Moses' 10 dabas are grouped into two fundamental instructions. Or when you want to give those instructions into categories or things. The first 5, you will see it as in reference to the worship of Jehovah, that is Yahweh, in view of what? Deliverance. So in view of what he has done, you worship him. In view of what he has done that makes you worship him, you have a stable relationship with your neighbor. Are we together? So after Moses spoke about the 10 dabas in Deuteronomy chapter 5, you now see him re-emphasizing the love of God, you know, but in clearer words. Okay, so let's see something quickly. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14. We're in Deuteronomy 6, right? Look at Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14. But the word is very nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Look at verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his what? Commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, and thou mayest live it, and what? Multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess. Can you see? So, where is the love of God going to be found? It's going to be found in the heart. Okay, let's keep reading, right? Let's keep reading. But if thy heart turn away, so that thou will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish. Where is the perishing found? The perishing is found in the turning away of the heart. Are we together? The perishing is found in the rejection of that which God offers. Altogether. So, in our sense, whether thou passest over Jordan to go and possess it. Verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Yeah. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Verse 20. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice. Is that what Abraham did? Yes. Yes, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? So, what Moses explains as obey his voice, yeah, in verse 10, look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now, is that what Abraham did? Yes. Look at it. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord to keep his commandment and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with thy soul, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. Are we together? So he had explained in verse 10 to hearken unto the voice of the Lord, that is, obey the Lord thy word, or to what? Believe his message. Are we together? Are we together? So to love God is the same truth as to obey his voice, is the same truth as to hearken unto him, is the same truth as to keep his commandments. Are we together? What will it mean to do otherwise? It will mean to turn thy heart away. So to turn thy heart away will be the same truth as what? The opposite of obeying his voice, which is what? To disobey his voice, or not to hearken to his voice, or not to keep his commandments. I'll say it again. Right? So to obey God's voice, is to believe him, that this is to hearken unto him, that is to keep his commandments. I always get that. Did you see how we taught that from Genesis 26, Genesis 15 on Sunday? Yeah. So to love God is that you obey his voice, is that you hearken unto him, is that you keep his commandments. To not love God, which is to turn your heart away, is that you reject his message, that is, you denounce or you close your ears to his voice, that is, you disobey his voice, that is, you don't hearken to his voice, or that is, you don't keep his what? His commandments. What will be the consequences of that? It tells you in verse 17, he says, but if thy heart be turned away, right? But shall be drawn away, and worship another God and serve thee, I denounce unto you this day that thou shalt what? Perish. So what is the perishing? The perishing is found in the turning away of thy heart. Are we together? See what Moses teaches that to be in Leviticus chapter 19. Look at Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, is holy. I will get that. Verse 4. Turn ye not unto idols, nor make yourself more than gods. I am the Lord thy God. If you offer sacrifices of peace, offering unto the Lord, ye shall offer it at your own will. It shall be eaten the same day ye offer it, and on the morrow, and if ye ought to remain on the third day, it shall be burnt in the fire. Look at verse 9. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of the field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of the harvest. So he further explains this truth after the deliverance in Leviticus chapter 19. Look at verse 11. Ye shall not steal. Can you see? So he further breaks down what you call 10 commandments or 10 charges and puts details to it in Leviticus 19. I want to get that. Look at verse 13. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. Oh, gracious Father. So thou shalt not cause the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear the Lord, for I am the Lord. Ye shall do no unrighteous in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shall thou judge thy neighbor. You see that? Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer amongst thy people. You see that? Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. What is talebearer among thy people? That means talkative. Are we together? Talkative. Yeah. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in the heart. Can you see how he further explains what you call 10 dabas, 10 commandments? Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Are we together? So where do you suppose when Jesus says the second is love thy neighbor as thyself? Yeah, it will be from Leviticus 19 by extension the writings of Moses. I hope you get that. Are we here? How are you? Look at verse 23. And when ye come unto the land, and shall have planted all manner of trees and fruit, then ye shall count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised. 3 years shall it be uncircumcised unto you, it shall not be eaten. Look at verse 29. Do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall. Do you understand how these are in reference to loving thy what? Thy neighbor. So your neighbor might be your sister, might be your friend, might be your uncle, your cousin, but he is your neighbor in that he is your what? Your neighbor. 30, you shall keep my Sabbath and reference my sanctuary. I am the Lord. 32, thou shalt rise up before the holy head and honor the face of the old man and fear the God, for I am the Lord. Verse 33, if a stranger sojourn within your land, ye shall not vex him. Verse 35, ye shall do no unrighteous in judgment in Midian, in weight or in measure. Just balances, just weight, a just effort, a just aim shall ye have. Right? Yeah, I am the Lord thy God, which brought, can you see why we have just balances, just wait. Yeah, because you are going to be walking in love towards that man which is your neighbor. Therefore, verse 37, shall ye observe all my statutes and all my judgment and do them, for I am the Lord. Are we together? So recall, remember, like we said, the land they were to inherit, right, was to be God's land. Land is a writing Moses uses to teach. In the real sense, the land is that land which Abraham looked forward to, which is what? The heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. So now, let me articulate a little. That land that was written to Moses, do you suppose that is the same land which is Garden of Eden? Where you suppose Adam was driven out of? Where you suppose Adam rejected God's message? So Adam rejected God's land. What did we explain the land to be? What did we explain the Garden of Eden to be? A precious place, right? A precious place given to him. Garden of Eden. What is the word garden? The word gan, enclosed, right? Are you coming back? Yeah. What's the word garden? Enclosed, gan. What's the word Eden? Place of delight, pleasure, right? So the special place or the land of God is that which Adam is supposed to stay in and what? To keep and dress. To explain that, what does that really mean? It really speaks about the Spirit of God in the hearts of men. Are we together? So when you now see Exodus, look at Exodus 36. That's Exodus, my bad, Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36, 25. Ezekiel 36, verse 25. It says, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. For all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Look at what it really means by that. So the cleansing is found in a new heart. Hallelujah. So a new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart of your flesh. And I will give you an heart of what? Flesh. And I will put my spirit within you. So the new heart is the spirit put within. You see that? Yeah. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my status. You shall keep my commandments and do them. Verse 28, and ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. So where do you suppose Ezekiel is teaching from? Ezekiel is combining Genesis, Abraham's promise of land, Exodus, the assurance of the land to the children of Israel, Deuteronomy, the assurance of the land that they came into as a deliverance, which they are to be God's people, and Leviticus. Are we together? So what is that land about? The land is about the new heart. What is the new heart about? I will put my spirit within you, and ye shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, and ye shall be my people. I will be what? I will be your God. So what is Ezekiel teaching? What is Ezekiel teaching? Ezekiel is teaching what by extension Moses was teaching. In God's new creation or in God's land, the people who will be found in God's land, we will love him. What does it mean to love him? It means to obey his voice. It means to keep his commandments. It means to hearken to his words. Did you see that? I'll say that again. In God's new creation, God will have a people. Those people will be people who love him. What does loving mean? Will mean to obey his voice. That is to listen to his voice, to hearken to his voice, to keep his commandments, to keep his charge. So, those people who love him are the ones who will receive the inheritance of the land. What is the inheritance of the land? The indwelling of the Spirit. I will put my spirit within you. That is that which is found in God's land. So God's land of Garden of Eden, that precious gift found in the Garden of Eden is the tree of life. Oh, gracious Father. So you know that the tree of life is a figurative expression for the Spirit of God, which hovered in Genesis 1:3. It's a figurative expression for the light that God said should be in Genesis 1:3. Are we together? So the Spirit of God that hovered in verse 2, the light of God in verse 3, they are all the same as the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. So the Garden of Eden is God's land that has a precious jewel. What is that precious jewel? His Spirit. So his Spirit is the inheritance that we receive in the land. Hallelujah. So the indwelling of the Spirit is that which we receive when we come into God's land. So that is what we get by loving. That is what we get by obeying. That is what we get by hearkening. So they will come into God's land. In coming into God's land, you become God's people. That is, you would have the indwelling of the Spirit. See, to become God's person, it means that you are His child. That means you have His DNA. Are we together? Yeah. For you to have God's DNA, it means His Spirit resides in you. So it means that they will be God's people. They will receive an inheritance. By that which has been done, they will see the cause to love one another, which is thy neighbor. Are we there? Are we there? They will see the reason to love one another, which will now be their neighbor. I'll say that again. In God's new creation, or in God's land, so does God have a land? Yes. So when you see the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, it is that God's assignment or God's plan is to restore the earth back to what? Where He wanted mankind to be. Are we together? Yeah. When they say the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, see, my car is not for God. Did you get that? Yeah. Bill Gates' jet is not for God. God doesn't own it. God doesn't own those. Oh, no. God, see, 1,000 catches on the 1,000 hills is not for God, though. It's for a man, no. If it's for God, I assure you that is your father. Go and touch one. Are we together? See, we're in Abuja here, for instance. We see cow roam around the streets. You cannot touch one, yet your father owns everything. How? How now? How does he own it? Eh? I go into animal husbandry, I buy cows, I start, you know, align them to mate and produce new cows. Someone now say the earth is the Lord. How now? Did you get that? So the earth is the Lord will be a restorative statement to bring back mankind into God's land, God's kingdom, God's heavenly Jerusalem. That is God's city, Mount Zion, the city of the living God. So the city of the living God is the land of God, which Moses taught as what? The Garden of Eden that has the promise of the tree of life. So there were no two trees in the garden. There were no two trees in the garden. There was God's tree in the garden. By rejecting God's tree, you've automatically accepted a tree that doesn't exist. Did you get that? Did you get that? There were no two trees. So God gave Adam the choice, which is one of God's greatest gifts to mankind as an ability to make a choice. In making the choice, what is in the Garden of Eden is the tree of life. The tree of life is His Spirit. What is the Garden of Eden? An enclosed place well defended of pleasure. Did you get that? Yeah, did you get that? That's why Jesus says, oh fools. He calls them fools. He says, are you also without sense? Don't you know that what a man eats does not go into his heart? So the only thing that goes into your heart is what you eat by hearing. Did I say that well? Yeah, say that again. The only thing that goes into your heart is what you eat by hearing. What you eat with your mouth and touches your tongue into your throat does not go to your heart. If anything you eat goes to your heart, you have problem. All together. Yeah, if anything you are eating goes to your heart, you have a serious problem. You are a case. Yeah, you are a case. So, you don't eat any fruit that goes to your heart. So, what Adam ate, he ate a fruit that went to his heart. He ate a fruit that affected the slant of the heart. Yeah, what did he really do? He turned his heart away from that which God offers, which is the tree of life. I hope you're learning something this evening. So, that is why Ezekiel now tells you by prophecy, I will sprinkle clean water upon you. You shall be clean. Dear saints, no matter who the pastor is, if Jesus pours water on you, let me say this. If Jesus pours water on you and He says you are clean, what makes you clean is not the water, is what He says. I hope you know. Eh? No water, as long as it's H2O, no matter where it's coming from, River Jordan, River Pacific Ocean, Asia Ocean, no matter what happens, no water has the ability to make you clean. Are we together? Yeah? No water can cleanse you. You get that? Yeah? You get that? Yeah? So, the cleansing that Ezekiel speaks about, so if Jesus comes and pours water on you, yeah? And He says you are clean. See, what makes you clean is in His saying, not in the water He pours on you. Did you get that? Yeah. So, what did He really mean? He now tells you, a new heart also will I give you. What does a new heart mean? A new spirit will I put within you. What new spirit is that? The new spirit is my spirit in verse 27. Did you see that? See, in verse 26, He says, a new heart will I give you. A new spirit will I give you. That new heart, that new spirit is my spirit. Are we together? Is my spirit. My spirit. So, I'll cause you to walk in my status. Look at John. Run me to John quickly. John, chapter 14. Remember, God is going to give you a new heart. by extension give you a new spirit, by extension give you my spirit. So God's new heart is God's new spirit, that is his spirit. Did you get that? Yeah, God's new heart that he gives to man is his heart, is his spirit. God's new heart that he gives to man is God's new spirit that he gives to man, which is his spirit. Look at John 14, verse 15. John 14, verse 15. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do you get what I just taught this evening? Yeah, what have I been teaching? To love God is to obey his voice, that is to keep his commandment, that is to hearken to his words. Or hearken to his voice. So, if you love me, keep my commandments. Look at what he now says in verse 16. I will pray the Father. He didn't say, I will pray to the Father. He says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Another there is the another paracletos. So, allos paracletos. Allos there deals with that which is the same. In case you are not sure, let's look at it. So, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. That comforter which God gives to a man who loves him by keeping his commandment abides with the man forever. I want to get that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17, even the spirit of truth. The spirit of truth is the spirit of reality. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he says that is the spirit, or the spirit of truth is the another comforter. So you look at it. Look at it. Look at it. Exodus 36, 25, 26 says a new heart. A new heart is a new spirit. A new spirit is another comforter. From Ezekiel, we know who the another comforter is. My spirit. Do you get that? Do you get that? So look at verse 17. Even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because he seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So I will not leave you comfortless. So remember, see, the only reason why in verse 16 he says he shall give you another comforter is so that he will not leave you comfortless. So how did he, or how does he not leave us comfortless? Verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Are we together? I will come to you. So, you see, the giving of another spirit by Jesus to the believer is not in the fact that Jesus gives an external spirit, but gives himself as a spirit. I hope you get that. So, the spirit of truth, which now lives in us, is the another comforter, which is the new heart, the new spirit, that is God's spirit. Are we together? So, we have received God's spirit. It means we have God come into God's land. So, by extension, the two primary categories of Moses' teachings are in Matthew 22. Look at Matthew 22, 36. Matthew 22, verse 36. I hope you're learning something this evening. Right? Look at Matthew 22, 36. Now, remember, scriptures are to make us wise unto salvation. Yeah? They are advantageous for teaching, for doctrine. That's the word teaching. Yeah? For reproof, assurance, for correction. Are we together? You see, so that is why you can literally teach everything about your Christian faith from Genesis to Malachi. You just need to study very well to know how to teach it. Because all they had to teach, all Jesus had to teach was Genesis to Malachi. So look at Matthew 22, verse 36. Look at Matthew 26, 22, verse 36. Matthew, Matthew, Matthew. Look at Matthew, Matthew, Matthew 22, verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love thy neighbor, or rather, thou shalt love thy God with all thy heart. Are we together? And with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Is that from Deuteronomy? Yes. Verse 38. That is the first and great commandment. Now, we looked at the word there first on Sunday, and it's the word that implies that which sets the pace for what is to come. That which sets the pace, or that which comes ahead of others. Are we together? Are we together? So, where do you suppose Jesus is teaching from? He's teaching from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 6. Look, run there quickly. Put your hands in Matthew 22. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one, and thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in their what? Their hearts. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house. So, where do you suppose Jesus is teaching first commandment from? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 6. All together. Now go to chapter 13, Deuteronomy chapter 13, before we go back to Matthew 22. Deuteronomy 13, verse 3. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 3. He says, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of the prophet or the dreamer or that dreamer of dream. Okay, look at verse 1. Verse 13, verse 1. Chapter 13, verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee signs and wonders, and the signs or the wonders come to pass, wherefore he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after any other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet. So, what is Moses teaching us how to recognize a prophet? A prophet is not recognized in the signs and wonders that are done or that come to pass. A prophet is recognized in what he says about the reference or your regards to God. Are we together? Are we together? So, look at it again. So, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of the prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all thy heart. So, ye shall walk after the Lord thy God and fear him, keep his commandment and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto what? Unto him. So, the worship of God is built on loving God. What does it mean to love God? We said it. To love God is to obey God, that is to keep his commandment, that is to hearken to his voice. Are we together? So Matthew 22. So Jesus said unto them, verse 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Look at verse 39. He now tells, remember, dear saints. Let me ask you a question. The people that asked him a question in verse 36, did they say which are the greatest commandments in the law? Did they say which are the greatest commandments? Did they say, Master, which are the two great commandments in the law? No, they didn't. What did they say? They say, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? So they're ideally asking for one. Yeah? Even though you can argue that it is in italics and all of that. In the recent verses, they were trying to say, amongst all the law, which one senior, which one old past, or which one is the most senior brother? So, when it says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? See what Jesus said. Jesus said, thou shalt love thy Lord, thy God, with thy heart, and with thy soul, and with thy mind. He now makes them see, this is the first and great commandment. Did you not see? And the second is like unto it. Who sent you, Jesus? Dear Jesus, my Lord and Savior, who asked you? So, it means that when Jesus talks, listen to him. Listen. So, there's a reason. What is Jesus doing? Jesus is in 3-4 sentences summarizing the 10 commandments of Moses. Are we together? So he says, verse 38, this is the first and great commandment. And the second. You see, Jesus could have ended in verse 1 or in verse 37 and wait for the next question. But because Jesus knows that what Moses was teaching was to love your God and by extension your neighbor, that's why he continued. He now says, the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 40, on these two commandments hang all the law and the what? The prophets. And the prophet. So if I hold your hands there, go to Philemon. Philemon chapter 1. Philemon has just one chapter, right? Look at Philemon chapter 1. Look at verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That is Paul to Philemon. He says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayer, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast towards the Lord. Is that the first commandment? Yes. Love thy Lord, thy God. Look at what he now says. Which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints. So, the love of Philemon towards God is seen in his love towards the saints. What did Jesus teach in Matthew 22? Love thy Lord, thy God, with all thy might and thy strength. In the real sense, love thy neighbor. Go back to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. So, your love for God is seen in your love for men. Did you see that? Look at Matthew 22 again. It says, this is the first and great commandment. Verse 32 now says, and the second is like unto it. So thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So if he says love thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, is as good as saying love thy neighbor with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind. Are we together? So when he says, and the second is like a two, the word there second, like we explained, is subsequently. Yeah, that word is not used as when we say number one, number two, number three. So in the real sense, what is Jesus saying? A good way to read that as a Bible student will be, Jesus answered and said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the foundational commandment. Or what do we say first is proton. Or this is that which sets the pace for that which is to come. So it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. This is that which sets the pace for that which is to come. He now goes to verse 39. And then subsequently is like unto it. Or this subsequently is like the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor. So from Jesus' teaching, the proof of our love of God will be seen in our worship of God, which will also be seen in and very evident in our love for men. Are we together? So what does Jesus summarize Moses' teaching as? Love walk. Remember we established on Sunday. Remember, three phases. Three cycles. What are the three cycles? The first cycle is God delivers a people and brings them out of bondage into his land. That's how Moses now said in Exodus 20, verse 1. Verse 2, he now says, thou shalt. Do you understand? So it is the deliverance that leads to the thou shalt. So it is the deliverance that leads to your response in worship and love to God. So God loves first. Yeah? Romans 5. While we're yet sinners, he died. So God loves first. We respond to his love by loving him, that is subsequently loving our neighbors. Are we together? So who is the chief initiator of love work? Is God, though. He is God, though. Look at Hebrews 2. Look at Hebrews 2:11. Look at Hebrews 2:11. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. Look at Hebrews 2, verse 11. See, he that sanctified, okay, look at verse 9. Look at Hebrews 2, verse 9. Hallelujah. Hebrews 2, 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many souls unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Verse 11, for both he that sanctified, who is the he that sanctified? The he that sanctified is the he who was made lower than angels. That is Jesus, verse 9. So for both he that sanctified, bracket Jesus, and they who are sanctified, the church, the believers, the heavenly Jerusalem, they are all of one. For this cause, for which cause, he is not ashamed to call them adelphos, brethren. Brethren means of the same womb. So saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. Are we together? And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which the God has given me are for signs and wonders. Isaiah. Okay, you got that, right? So, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. He's talking about the brethren that comes from the resurrection. That is the church. Are we together? The church. So, you must have read Hebrews chapter 2, where he says that what? He is not ashamed to call us brethren. So, God is your brother. God is my brother. In God being your brother, in God being my brother, it is so that we are brothers. So, you see, he brings you out from the womb of resurrection and brings me out from the same womb of resurrection so that we can be brethren, so that we can be bro, so that we can be brothers. Yeah, the highest office a man in Christian faith can hold is the title and office of a brother. Yeah, no other office supersedes that. No other title supersedes that. Brother, brotherhood. Jesus calls us his brother. He says he is not ashamed to call them brother. He is not ashamed to call us brother. Are we together? So it means that, look at Hebrews 13:1. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. Hebrews 13:1. Hebrews 13:1. Hebrews 13:1. See what it says. Let brotherly love continue. Why do you suppose brotherly love to continue? Because God, who is the first brother, has already started brotherly love. How did God initiate his brotherly love? He initiated his brotherly love in that he gives himself to be able to be called a brother of a fellow believer. Did you get that? So when it says, let brotherly love continue. Remember, chapter 12, verse 29 already tells you that for God is a consuming fire. For God, our God is a consuming fire. What will his fire consume? That which is not of love, that which is of fear, that which is not of his. Are we together? Are we together? So let brotherly love continue. He says, look at verse 3. Remember them that are in bonds. Look at verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed on the fire, but who among us and adulterers, God will judge. Who are the adulterers? We saw that on Sunday. An adulterer is one who is married and tries to derive satisfaction outside the bed of marriage. Who is an adulterer in the kingdom? An adulterer is that which is in a marriage union with Christ, but yet he tries to find his delight from outside that which is found on the marriage bed. What is on the marriage bed? Verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with that thing which ye have on the marriage bed. I will get that. What do we have on the marriage bed with Christ? I will never leave thee nor forsake you. That is the assurance we have on that bed, on that matrimonial bed. Yeah, so there's a matrimonial bed between Christ and the church. Yeah, on that bed, what we have is that assurance of I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Look at it again. See, okay, hold the thoughts there. Go to Philippians 2. Look at Philippians 2. Look at Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2. Let's see Philippians 2. Okay, look at Philippians 2 verse 12. Philippians 2 verse 12. Look at Philippians 2 12. He says, Philippians 2 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. He says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your salvation. See, he doesn't say work for your own salvation. No, he says work out, work out, work out, work out, work out. See verse 13. For it is God which worketh in. Hello. Don't look at workout without looking at walking. There's something called GIGO, GIGO, in computer, engineering, computer technology. GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. Yeah, you only give out that which has been garbaged in, or you only give out that which is in, or you only give from that which is inside. All together. Yeah, so if you put water in a reservoir tank, the reservoir tank can only give water because water has been put inside the tank. Are we together? So, when it says, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Are we together? So, God is at work in us. That is why we walk out. Did you get that? Did you get that? God is at work in us. That is why we walk out. Are we together? So, who is the doer? So, in the reason, so when it says, work out your salvation, who is the real doer? The real doer is actually God, the doer. So God, the doer, is a consuming fire. Yeah, so God, the doer, the consuming fire, is at work in me. So what happens next? I'm going to work out. What is to work out? Let brotherly love continue. Allow brotherly love to flow through you. Because the first and chief brother has worked out that brotherhood into you. Are we here? So he is the chief doer. He is the consuming fire who is at work in the believer. So brotherly love is expected to work. So you can walk out. Do you understand? You can walk out because it has been worked in. Both he that sanctified and them that are sanctified are all of one. For this cause he is not ashamed to call what? Brethren, Adelphos. So what will I do? I will let that walking in be expressed through me. Hallelujah. I will allow that walking in. See, mind you, when Paul wrote the letter to Philippians, they were going through one of the greatest persecutions you can think of. That's why he first told them in verse 6, let this man be in you. That man which was in Christ, who thought not robbery to be equal with God. They were going through serious, intense persecution. What is he telling them? Walk out. So, if the writer of Hebrews were to write Philippians 3:12, he would just say, let brotherly love continue. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do. So, there is no believer that cannot work out that which has been worked in, yeah, because he is not the one that worked it in. So, what do you do? You don't derive template on how to work out from outside what has been worked in. Hallelujah. So what am I to do? I recognize what God has done in me and what he wants to do through me. See, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God at work in me that wants to walk through me. Yeah, that is why. So when it says let brotherly love continue, it says allow brotherly love to continue. So it means that in the recognition of what Jesus has done for me, my actions will flow from that. What is my assignment? What is my job description? My job description is to recognize that which has been worked in. What am I recognizing? God, the consuming fire, is at work in me to do his will and to do what? His good pleasure. Are we together? So, Jesus is my brother. Jesus is your brother. We are brothers. So, in a relationship, we see ourselves as brothers. Why are we brothers? We are from the same womb, Adelphos. So, what did he say to you that he has said to me? He said he will never leave you. He said he will never leave you. He said he will never leave you. What did he say to me? He said I will never leave me. He said he will never leave me. So, what should I be content with? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Look at Hebrews. Go back to Hebrews. Go back to Hebrews, 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 Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse 5. Yeah, so let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as he have. He didn't say such things as he have. He didn't put open check. It's not your shoe. It's not your car. Hebrews 13:5 is not talking about the house you have. You know, I have house to live. Some people are living under the bridge. Yeah, some have food but cannot eat. Some can eat but have no food. In the fact that I can eat, I have food. I am glory be to God. I'm content. No, no, no. The contentment of the believer is found in that which he has said. I will never leave thee nor forsake you. First, so that is the fundamental contentment we have before it extends to our life. Are we together? So that we may boldly say, verse 6, the Lord is my what? Helper. So, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do to me. What am I content with? So, the moment I'm looking for contentment outside the marriage bed of Christ, I'm outside that which he supplies on his bed, the bed of intimacy. What am I doing? I'm considered to be a womonger, an adulterer. Glory to God. So, he says, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, Jesus Christ, that is the sanctifier, sanctifies me. He is the same person in me. So, if I see Jesus, I see an example that I follow. Are we together? Remember, God is the first initiator of love. He initiates his love. Then Moses will now teach us 10 commandments, 5-5. Your worship to God, then your relationship amongst men. Are we together? So, we carry that same contentment. What is contentment? So, if God says he will never leave you, God says he will never leave me, it means I can say I'll never leave you. Why? Because I'm not saying I'll never leave you out of my will. It is God that worked it in me to say I will never leave you. Oh, glory to God. So, Jesus, who is the same yesterday, he is the same today, and is the same forever. Are we together? I'll say that again. Yeah, Jesus Christ. So, look at it. God did something good to you. What did he do? He put himself by his spirit inside of you. In doing that, he gives an assurance. So, he gives a template of loyalty. Do you get that? Yeah, he gives a template of royalty. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So, he will never leave you nor forsake you. That gives us a template of how we will not leave the brethren. Now, does that mean the brethren will not hurt us? No. Look at Luke 6. Look at Luke 6, 35. Look at Luke 6, verse 35. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, but love your enemies, do good, and lend open for nothing. So, when Jesus says love your enemies, he didn't say enemies to people. He didn't say enemies that, he didn't describe the enemies. He just says enemies. How together? Yeah. And ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the thankful and to the evil. So, you see, look at it though. Look at verse 35, the last sentence. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Verse 36, be ye therefore merciful. Why are you supposed to be merciful? Because he is kind unto the unthankful and the evil. So he says, be ye therefore merciful as your father also is merciful. So what does it mean as your father is merciful? It means that we are to identify ourselves and walk with God as a merciful God. So, look at it. First of all, he says, he is kind unto the unthankful. So, Jesus and God, they are kind unto the unthankful, irrespective of their unthankfulness. All together. altogether. So if he is father, it means we have his DNA. So if we say he is kind, we are saying we are kind. If we say he is merciful, see, that's why Jesus did not, it's not difficult for Jesus to say, be ye therefore merciful, as your father also is merciful. Why? Because if he is merciful, I am merciful. If he is father, I am son. If he is father, I am his child. If he is father, I am his child. If he is my brother, I am his brother. Are we together? If he is merciful, I can see a template of being merciful in him. So, he is merciful, I am merciful, I show mercy. That's why it says, be ye therefore merciful. So, it means that identity is paramount. Identity is key. Right? In walking in love, in loving your enemies, in loving thy neighbors. Remember, first of all, pay attention to God's love of deliverance. Why do you suppose Moses every time and every now and then, he kept reminding them of the deliverance that God brought to them out of the land of bondage? It is because in paying attention to that which God has delivered you from, you see who you are, you see where you are. Are we together? In his mercifulness, we find our ability to be merciful. Are we together? We see that example. We see that. Listen, look at Matthew. Look at Matthew 17. Let me show you something quickly in Matthew 17. Look at Matthew 17. You can read that afterwards, you know, when the Mount of Transfiguration and all of that. Of this. Look at verse 3. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with them. Matthew 17, 3. Then Peter answered and said unto Jesus, it is good for us here, if thou wilt, let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias. While he yet spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and beheld a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. And when the disciples heard it, they fell to their face. Look at verse 7. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus. Right? That except Jesus. And as they came down from the mountain, look at verse 9 carefully. As they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them. What did Jesus say? Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Are we together? Now, let me ask you a question. Did Jesus, is that a secret that Jesus is asking them to keep? Yes. Let me ask you again. Is that a secret? When Jesus says, tell no man, is that a secret that should be amongst them for the time being? Yes. What is the secret? That which will remain amongst the confined ears, yeah, until further instruction is given. So, did Jesus ask them to keep that instruction? Yes. Does it take a loyal man to keep that instruction? Yes. Could they have not kept that instruction? Yes, oh. 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 Let me ask you again. Could they have told any other person? Yes, oh. Could they have told their wife if they were married? Yes, oh. Now, after he said, tell no one, could they have told somebody? Yes, so what do you suppose Jesus will do when he finds out they told somebody? Look at Judas. Look at Judas. It's not far-fetched. Let me ask a question. If they are told somebody without Jesus, right? If they are told somebody without Jesus actually rising from the dead and the right time for them to tell people came, do you suppose that is betrayal? Yes. What is betrayal? Stepping outside or breaking or violating a contract or a trust or a confidence. Are we together? So, when Jesus says, tell no man, what is the right thing for them to do? Yeah, you can go back to Leviticus. He says, don't be a tale bearer. Are we together? What was the right thing for them to do? The right thing for them to do was to tell no man. In telling no man, they are what? In obedience to the instruction, that is, they are giving their full loyalty to Jesus. Yeah, so for Jesus to say, tell no man, it means that to an extent, he trusts that they will not tell anybody. Yeah, do you need men around you who are like that? Yes, yeah, so you need those kind of men, no? You do, oh, yeah. Do you need men around you who you can say, tell no man this, and you are sure it will remain between two of you? Yes, yeah, so, yes, yeah, so, does that mean they will not change their mind tomorrow? No! Aha! See, the earlier you understand this, the better for your Christian faith. Are we together? Are we together? The earlier for you, the earlier you understand this, the better for Christ. So, for Jesus to say, tell no man, yeah, it means that it requires a level of loyalty to Jesus to keep that secret amongst them and them alone until the right time. If they obeyed, If they ended up telling somebody, did they disobey? Yes. Is that betrayal? Yes. What did Jesus have done? It's not far-fetched. Look at the example of the chief betrayer, who you call the betrayer in the Bible. What did Jesus do to him? In seeing that, you will see what Jesus would have done to Peter if Peter had told anybody about what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration. Are we together? Are we together? What is betrayal? Betrayal actually implies that what... Hold on. Betrayal means something is in confidence between you and thy neighbor, and your neighbor tells another neighbor. Yeah, in doing that, that might cause enmity. Yeah, that might cause distrust. Yeah, you know, it's violation. But what did Jesus do? Look at Matthew 26. Look at Matthew 26. Look at Matthew 26, verse 40. So, the salvation plan of God is to bring man from bondage into a land so that man can become his people. Hallelujah. In doing that, man in that land is to respond in worship to God and by extension respond in love work towards men. Are we together? So it tells you in Luke 24, love thy neighbor, love thy enemies, love thy enemies. Matthew 5 will say, love, bless them that curse you, pray for them that despitefully use you. Yeah, pray for them that despitefully use you, pray for them. Now, could Peter have used that information to gain access into any place he could have used it for anything? What do you suppose Jesus will do upon finding out? Look at what Jesus did when he found out, or when Judas' story happened. He came, disciples were sleeping. He said, you cannot pray for 1 hour, watch and pray. So look at verse 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Right? So he went there and he prayed, and he came back, you were sleeping. Then he came to the disciples and he said unto them, sleep on now. You know what? Keep sleeping. That's sarcasm. He says, keep sleeping, take your rest. When Jesus says, take your rest and keep sleeping, it depends on the context. Yeah. So, behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Dear Saint, as at verse 45, had Jesus been betrayed, the activity of betrayal had started behind closed doors. However, it wasn't evident to any of those people he was talking to. Are we together? So, Jesus knew by word of knowledge that betrayal was coming. I don't get that. So, the hour is at hand for betrayal. Guess what? The hour is at hand for betrayal. So, Jesus' pre-action before the betrayal was what? He prayed. What did he ask the other people that went with him to do? So that they can pray, so they will not fall into temptation. Yeah. Now, did the prayer of Jesus stop Judas from betraying him? No. It means that in prayer, your prayer doesn't have an ability to change the choice and the willpower of man. Take that home. Are we together? You know, we paid attention to that in our prayer seminar. Yeah? Your prayer doesn't have the ability to change the choice of a man. Your prayer can only supply persuasion, can only supply your breeze. You know, when rat is biting your leg and it's blowing breeze. Man still has his choice. So, in your prayer, you make a choice. Yeah? What was the choice of the disciples that went to Jesus? They were sleeping. Did Jesus know about the betrayal? Look at it. He says what? The Son of Man is to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. He says, rise, let us be going. At the time when Jesus said, rise, let us be going, had the betrayer been, had it played out in their front? No. He was still operating from what? Word of knowledge. Behold, is at hand that dwelleth betrayed. Let me ask you a question. Judas was the treasurer. Let me ask you a question. If you open a company tomorrow and you make somebody a treasurer, it means that the level of trust you have for that person is top notch. Are we together? So, for Jesus to have given, for the disciples and Jesus to have made Judas the treasurer, it means that what? He was trustworthy. Do trustworthy men change? Yes, oh! In case you don't know. In case you've not experienced it. Do trustworthy men change? Yes, oh! Do loyal men change? Yes, oh! See, for Judas to be a treasurer, he must have been a loyal, trustworthy person. Yeah, to hand over the finances of your company to a man, you trust him to an extent. Yeah, you trust him to an extent. So for Judas to be in that position as a treasurer, he was trusted. But what happened? He betrayed. So do trustworthy men betray? Yes. Do trustworthy men lie? Yes. Do trustworthy men deny? Yes. So Peter denied Jesus not once, not twice, 3 times. Was Peter trustworthy? Yes. See, look at it, oh gracious Father. Despite the denial of Peter 3 times of Jesus, despite Peter denying Jesus 3 times, Jesus still entrusted the teaching of God's word to Peter's hand. Feed my sheep, feed my lamb. Are you there? Have you gone home? You are home, right? I went together. See, the breaking of man's trust for you might teach you a lesson, but doesn't mean that there are no scriptural ways to handle things. Look at that again. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. See, verse 45, he says, the Son of Man is betrayed to the heart of sinner. He said, for you to see, read verse 45, verse 46, and he mentions betrayer twice. It means that he was very sure. What did Jesus not do? Jesus did not say, for you see a man, and you see him with pink trousers, then check under his boxers, he'll be wearing blue. Yeah? For when you see him, make sure you hold his hand and tie his hand, for he is the one that will give me. Yeah, he didn't do utterance to reveal that about a man. Hallelujah. Look at verse 47. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with sword and staffs from the chief priest. So you can say, Judas the treasurer, one of the 12. Judas, the trustworthy person, one of the 12. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? So Jesus says, Judas told them, the person you see me kiss is the one. Now, did Judas betray? Yes. Was the news of Judas' betrayal, Was Judas betrayer news to Jesus? No, he knew ahead of time. What did he do with the knowing? He prayed. What did the praying not do? The praying did not change Judas' mind. Did you see that? Yeah. What? Let me see. Did Jesus know ahead of time what Judas will do? Yes. What did Jesus do with that information? Did he run away? No. Yeah. Did he begin to warn them to go and capture them before they catch? He said, catch them before they catch you. Did he do that? No. Yeah, what did he do with that information? He prayed. That is a revelational information. He prayed about it. What did the prayer not do? The prayer did not make Judas change his mind. What did Jesus say to Judas? Friend, wherefore art thou come? So it's not hard to see what Jesus would have done to Peter from the Mount of Transfiguration. Are we together? You know, like I said on Sunday, the word dear friend is not a figure of speech. Are we together? It's the word dear friend. Speak about someone who is cordial or someone who you have, you know, friendship with. Are we together? So, what did Jesus call Judas? He said, friend. What do we call Judas? Judas the betrayer. So, Judas the friend of Jesus betrayed Jesus. According to Jesus' words, though. Because Jesus said, friend. Are we together? What is our physical eyes going to see? Judas the betrayer betrayed Jesus. What did Jesus make us see there? Friend. Judas the friend, the treasurer, the lawyer, the trustworthy person of Jesus betrayed Jesus. Hallelujah. See, if you don't pray, the word of God can make a mockery of your ignorance. If you don't spend time in the place of prayer. Because you would have thought that, what is wrong with this man? Is he not stupid? What do you suppose Peter would have called Judas when he noticed what was happening? He would have called them the betrayer. Why do you suppose he would do that? He was sleeping. He had a choice in the place of prayer. What happened? Jesus says, pray lest you fall into temptation. What did Peter end up doing? He caught somebody here. Are we together? So, Judas and all those that slept, they had a problem in seeing what Jesus saw. Yeah? Are we together? So, what did Jesus do? Jesus, the loyal friend of Judas, who was supposed to be loyal, protected Judas until it wasn't easy for Peter and Co. to decipher who it was. So, he kept it. So, it was obvious for them to know who he was. What did I mean? Jesus ahead of time did not say, you see that man Judas, be careful. If you see him around me, close the door. Are we together? Yeah. Remember, there was a purpose for all of this. There was a purpose for all of this. Yeah. There was a purpose for all of this. So then came, why do you suppose, now, when Jesus says, friend, wherefore art thou come? Was Jesus asking Judas to know why he came? No. Jesus already knew that he was going to betray him. So that's similar to the garden. Adam, where art thou? Let me ask you a question. How did Jesus choose Judas? Let me ask you better. How did Judas come on the list of the 12 disciples of Jesus? Bible says that Jesus prayed all night. What is all night? 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. So, Jesus chose Judas in the place of prayer. See, if you are not careful with God's word, it will just mock you. Yeah? It will just mock you. One would have thought that the prayer of Jesus was to remove the betrayer ahead of time. No, Jesus chose Judas from in the place, by the place of prayer, in the place of prayer, through the place of prayer. So Judas was a choice of Jesus' all-night prayer. Judas. So what is Jesus showing us? The actions of men should not stop you from being a neighbor. We've asked the question, if Judas had repented, Remember, no prophecy said that it was Judas that would betray Jesus. It's just that Judas, in his choices he made, fit into the prophecy as given from old. Are we together? Yeah. So when they say sort of the solution, it's not like they predestined Judas to betray. No. Can you see? Today, Judas even looks like a betrayer name. How many of you can call your children Judas? I know a few Judas Smith, but somebody says it's not Judas Smith, it's Judah. Yeah. So how many people can call your children Judas? Yeah, so Judas was not a preordained name for those who are betrayers. No. Judas is actually not a bad name. Not sorry to say. But it's fine. I didn't say I'm going to call my child Judas, but I just said it is not a bad name. Praise God. There are other names. I like Peter. Yeah, I like Yehoshua. Yeah, so in the real sense, Jesus shows us, friend, wherefore art thou come? So a lot of times when Jesus said, I'm tired, remember, it's not that he was tired though. It was that he didn't attribute himself to that ability, or he didn't lay hold of that. Now, what do you suppose Jesus is doing in that? He's showing us a template. So the believer is to find his choices in the template that Jesus lays. Are we together? Will men do evil to you? Yes. Will men who you trust do evil to you? Yes. Yes. Like I said on Sunday, I will respect you more if you say, Kai, this person did evil to me. But you know what? I'm not mature enough to walk in this law work that the Bible says I should do, than for you to twist the Bible to explain a situation where not to walk in love. There is never a time when walking in love can be considered as wrong. Yeah, is walking in love as easy as it sounds? Walking in love? No, it isn't. So if someone close to you betrays you, what is the first thing you do? It's not hard to answer. What is the first thing Jesus did? Remember, it is Jesus who is at work in you to do. Right? To will and to do of his good pleasure. Yeah. So he says, walk out. So what did Jesus do? What will I do? What should I do? Yeah. What should I do? What might I do? You see, somebody can do evil to you, and the first thing you do is to respond with a punch. You say, after all, he slapped me. I did not slap him. I punched him back. Yeah. And when the real says, what did Jesus do? He says, he called him friend. He said, friend, wherefore art thou come? Wherefore had that come? Then came there and laid hands on Jesus and what? Took him. For Judas to be convenient enough to go and kiss Jesus, for them to know him, it means that he had a close mutual relationship with Jesus. Despite the betrayer, Jesus calls him what? Friend. I told you that word there is etarios. It's like a word we call mate, chess, that's a chess, mate or partner, or my good friend. Yeah, the people that came to carry Jesus, did they come with the sword of the Spirit? No, they came with literal swords. They came after Jesus like a criminal. But imagine Jesus saying, Judas already knew Judas. Judas I knew. He's the one that even taught the devil all his tricks. Very wicked somebody. No, what did he say? He says, friend. His friend. Wherefore had thou come? There's an opportunity for Judas to repent. So Jesus knew what Judas had done, and he knew ahead of time. Are we together? Where does temptation come from? Where does betrayal come from? It is what? From men. Yeah, the unseen being behind those acts is the devil, but it will be seen in the activities of men. Hallelujah. It's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way. I hope you've learned something here and there. Until I come away again on Sunday, Jesus is glorified. I love your chest.